"Indeed, child," she said. "Did you not think it strange that in your turmoil-strewn time here, none of your foes, not one, ever sought to enter from the other side? Never sent a spirit-given form directly into your bed, your shower, your refrigerator? Never poured a basket of asps into your closet so that they sought refuge in your shoes, your boots, the pockets of your clothing?" She shook her head. "Sweet, sweet child. Had you walked much farther, you would have seen the mound of bones of all the things that have attempted to reach you, and which I have destroyed."
"Yeah, well, I nearly wound up there myself."
"La," she said, smiling. "My guardians were created to attack any intruder, including one that looked like you. We couldn't have some clever shapeshifter slipping by now, could we?" She sighed.
"You took a terrible toll on my primroses. Honestly, child, there are elements other than fire, you know. You really ought to diversify. Now I have two gaping maws to feed instead of one."
"I'll be more careful next time," I said quietly.
"I should appreciate such a thing," she studied me quietly.
"It has been true for your entire lifetime, child. I have followed you in the spirit world, created guardians and defenses upon the other side to ward your sleep, to stand sentinel over your home. And you still have only the beginnings of an idea of how many have tried." She smiled, showing her delicately pointed canine teeth again. "Tried and failed."
Which also explained how she was always near at hand whenever I had entered the Never Never, how she would be upon my trail in seconds whenever I went in.
Because she had been there, protecting me from everything but herself.
"Now then," she said, her tone businesslike, "you left a considerable trove of equipment in my garden for safekeeping."
"It was an emergency."
"I had assumed that," she said. "I will, of course, safeguard it or return it, as you wish, and should you perish, I will deliver it to an heir of your designation."
I let out a weary laugh.
"You? Of course you will."
I eyed Mouse. "What do you think, boy?" Mouse looked at me and then at Leah. Then he sat down, but still kept watching her carefully.
"Yeah," I said. "I think that too."
The Lenanshi smiled widely.
"It is good that you have taken my lessons to heart, child. It is a cold and uncaring universe we live in. Only with strength of body and mind can you hope to control your own fate. Be wary of everyone, even your protector."
I sat there for a moment, thinking. My mother had prepared protection for me with considerable foresight. She had anticipated my eventually looking for and finding my half-brother, Thomas. Had she prepared other things for me as well? Things I hadn't yet guessed at? How would I pass on a legacy to my child if I knew that I wasn't going to be alive to see it happen? What kind of legacy did I have other than a collection of magical gear that anyone could probably accumulate without help in time? My only real treasure was knowledge. Ye gods and little fishes, but knowledge was a dangerous legacy. I imagined what might have happened if, at the age of 15, I had learned aspects of magic that had not come to me on their own until I was over 30. It would have been like handing a child a cocked and loaded gun. A safety mechanism was needed, something that would prevent the child from attaining said store of knowledge until she was mature enough to handle it wisely. Something simple, but telling. For a child, a wizard child. I smiled, something like being able to admit one's own ignorance, expressed in the simplest possible form, asking a question. And, as I now knew, my mother had not been called La Fée for nothing.
"Godmother," I asked calmly, "did my mother leave anything for you to give me when I was ready for it? A book? A map?"
Leah took a very slow, deep breath, her eyes luminous.
Well, she murmured. Well, well, well.
She did, didn't she?
Yes, indeed. But I was told to give you fair warning. It is a deadly legacy. If you accept it, you accept what comes with it.
Which is? I asked. She shrugged a shoulder. It varies from one individual to the next. Your mother lost the ability to sleep soundly. It might be worse for you, or it might be nothing.
I thought about that for a moment, and then nodded. I want it. Leah never took her eyes off me. She lifted her empty palm, closed her fingers over it, and opened them again. A small, gleaming ruby, bright as a drop of blood, carved in a pentagon, lay in her hand.
It is the sum of her knowledge of the ways, Leah said quietly. Every path, every shortcut, every connection. She developed enough skill at searching them out that she was eventually able to predict them.
Ways may change from decade to decade, but your mother knew where they were and where they would be.
Very few of mine own kind can say as much. She narrowed her eyes.
That knowledge is the burden I hold in my hand, child. Mine own belief is that it will destroy thee. The choice must needs be thine.
I stared at the gem for a long moment, forcing myself to breathe slowly.
All the ways. The ability to travel around the world without concern for geography. Knowledge like that could have won the war with the Red Court almost before it began. Whoever possessed that knowledge could regard laws with utter impunity, avoid retribution from mortal authorities or supernatural nations alike, go anywhere, escape from damn near anything, gather more information than anyone else possibly could.
Hell's bells.
That gleaming little gem was a subtle power that had the potential to be as potent as any I had seen.
Such power.
Such temptation. I wondered if I'd be able to handle it. I am not a saint. At the same time, I had never seen a tool so obviously intended to help a man show up for his little girl. No matter where she was, I could go to her and get away clean.
Maggie.
I reached out and took the gem from my godmother's hand.